This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Luke Morrow is in. T. Mills on the ones and twos behind the glass. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there. We appreciate you rolling with us. Make sure you stay plugged in on that Audacy app, AUDACY. We greatly appreciate you downloading that app, taking us everywhere you go. In fact, let me tell you right now about this contest we got going on, y'all. The Audacy contest that's rolling right now is you can win airfare and accommodations for you and three friends, plus $20,000 cash all to Vegas for the first two rounds of the big college basketball tournament. That's the deal. Airfare and accommodations to Vegas, first two rounds of the big college basketball tournament, plus $20,000 to do with whatever the hell you please while you're in Vegas. All you got to do is download the Audacy app, log into the Audacy app, and listen to Sports Radio 610 for 1 hour a day. Every day that you do that, you get an entry. You can get one entry per day until February the 23rd, right? $20,000, you and three buddies, you and three friends to Vegas for the first and second round of the big tourney. It's a big-time deal. All you got to do is download that Audacy app, AUDACY. Also, make sure you plug into the show, 713-572-4610. The Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line is wide open.
Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer.
Waiting on you. That's right. All right. Now, look, the Astros lost. Obviously, I say they lost. It was a slim chance they'd get him back. Some would tell you there was none. Slim to none. And Slim just walked out the door, right? Needless to say, Alex Bregman is in Boston. He's no longer an Astro. And there's plenty of conversation with Isak Paredes is one of them that is going to fill the shoes of Bregman at third base. You know, whether it's Paredes and Pena or Diaz or whoever, they're going to find somebody that's going to fill his shoes at the plate. I think the lineup's going to be all right. Now we need some guys to step up, but I think the lineup's going to be okay. No doubt about it. The Astros aren't the lock favorite in the division. They're not one of the favorites to make that World Series run. It's going to be a little different journey for all of us Astros fans. Instead of being a front runner, we're going to have to weather the storm a bit.
It's not ideal.
But I find it fascinating, guys, the conversation about Alex Bregman and the leadership, right? Every year we lose Carlos Correa, my first go-to, because I think it's huge. I'm just a big believer in it, man. I can just see Carlos Correa getting in front of the camera and the mics after we watch Alex Bregman and Altuve just fumble through the handling the first media appearance with the after the sign stealing scandal from training camp. You know, you can see that Tim Kurchkin, I believe it was, with Carlos Correa, and Carlos says, "You need to know the facts," and he just stands. You know
don't know the facts,
that's it right there. One of my favorite lines ever in my time covering Houston sports. There's no doubt about it. him going to the mound. Who was that, Tyler, that had lost? Was it Fromber? That was out of his gourd when Carlos Correa called a timeout and went to the, you could yes. tell he was in Spanish. He was giving it to him.
Yeah.
Like that is so, so, so critical all the time, right? But the more Carlos Correa's, George Springer's, Alex Bregman's, Justin Verlander, the more those caliber alphas walk out of the room, the more important it becomes. The lesser your team is, I just said, like the Astros aren't going to be a front runner this year. They're not going to be viewed as one of the most talented teams. They're going to have to lean into that chemistry, into that leadership, maybe need it a little bit more than they have in the last 8-9 years, right? We don't know. Who's going to fill Alex Bregman's shoes? And I want to take a minute. I want to take a minute, Tyler. I want you to cue this thing up. Usually when I bring up the alpha, the leadership, I hear a lot of rumblings, a lot of laughing, a lot of chuckling, a lot of minimizing it, a lot of what are you talking about type stuff. And I think people that do that are just plumb ass silly. But when somebody cuts some audio that it is promo caliber audio on leadership, I got a game recognized game. Our guys on Area 45, man. Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani, Chris Santiago. This is what the hell I'm talking about right here. Here's the fellas discussing who's going to take over that leadership role.
Guy that I think could fill that role, Yainer Diaz.
Of being a vocal leader?
Yes.
Oh, I think he's another one in waiting, too.
Yainer Diaz is a guy who could fill the role as vocal leader, because the one thing Martin Maldonado was the vocal leader who had the respect of the clubhouse, despite his diminished performance. He still had that respect in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
If Yainer learned anything from Maldy, it was the preparation, the communication, and the leadership.
Definitely.
From Martin Maldonado.
Yes.
Because he was already a better player.
Absolutely.
But if he learned, I mean, we know he learned the preparation part, because Pitchers talked about that last year. Mm-hmm. So if Maldy had instilled in him the discipline, the pregame preparation, all that type of stuff, Yainer could step forward as a leader like that. And I do expect Yainer will have a better offensive season this year than he did last year.
All right, Creighton. All right, Creighton. All right, it's enough, Creighton. Right, the leadership. I want to tip my cap to the fellas for making a damn promo-worthy cut on leadership. It is unbelievably important. And truth be told, we can talk about defense. Obviously, Bregman was a monster. We can talk about at the plate, slow starts, but clearly when it mattered the most was a clutch hitter. Who's going to fill those shoes? But I'll argue with a young team and an unproven, so, like relying on so many unproven guys this year, Luke, I'll argue that the leader aspect of Alex Bregman is just as big, if not bigger, than the other parts of it. Like somebody, these young pitchers, I like Hunter Brown. I mean, let's be honest, Framber Valdez, it needs a little bit of grabbing by the nape of the neck every now and then from somebody. Hunter Brown, I think he's tightened up, but I would imagine he's one that can get a little bit rattled. Spencer Arrigetti, hell, they're on record of Bregman helping Spencer Arrigetti last year. I mean, that being in that clubhouse, in that clubhouse is so important. That a big question has to be who's going to fill Bregman's shoes from that perspective.
Yeah, it is a big question. And those things that Bregman, look, the numbers have been declining for Bregman the last couple of years, but those are the things that you can't quantify. And I think that was part of the conversation in the whole ongoing saga of the free agency that a lot of Astro fans are pointing to this offseason of acknowledging, yeah, the numbers might not be where they once were, but just to keep that piece, kind of like the Reggie Jackson, the straw that stirs the drink for the Houston Astros, and now you lose that. So that is the big question. And you typically look up the middle. So, you know, the guys on Area 45 were saying the catcher. On the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line, someone said Jake Myers, the center fielder. I might go in the third one.
We can't lean into Jake yet. Now, no. I'm just hoping Jake can swing the stick a little bit to stay in the 7-hole.
That's fair. I agree with you. Catcher is the obvious one, but I would stick in the middle. I mean, I would say maybe Jeremy Pena, because that's the same side of the infield where now you don't have Bregman by your side. But my biggest concern with really all these guys, for the most part, for the Astros, and why I thought that this would be a bit of a soft reset this year for this roster, is some of that youth. So I would actually go, I don't know where you are on this, Clint. I don't know if it could be a new guy, but I think Christian Walker, because he's a veteran, He's your first baseman, so you work with the pitcher even on just, you know, handling the base runner, so you have that communication. And also, he's going to be a middle of the bat in your lineup for you. He's a veteran. He's played in a World Series before. He has more playoff experience than maybe some of the other guys in that clubhouse. You know, he's been in the league for a decade. So I know he's coming into this clubhouse. That can be tough for a lot of guys. But I almost look to somebody like that, the veteran with the playoff experience, with some of the awards, who's going to have to be a big bat for you this year, who's going to be working with pitchers to begin with. Maybe it's a Christian Walker. The biggest addition of this offseason, at least in terms of spending money, and he's got to come in and kind of be that guy to help fill the shoes of Bregman and the others that have left.
Yeah, look, I'm with you with Christian Walker. The strong thing or the tough part of it is he's a new face.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. When you're a guy that has tremendous confidence, and that confidence is gained by not being handed a lot of things, which Christian Walker's worked his way. He's worked his way up. I think Christian Walker, you know, for the stories that I hear, one of the hardest workers in every clubhouse he's ever been in. One of the hardest true grinder defensively and offensively. I mean, the amount of work that this guy puts in before and after games to stay right during the regular season is apparently he's in a league of his own. And when you're that kind of guy, I think if it's in you, if it's not in you, then you just can't do it. But at that point in time, everybody else on the team, no matter where they're from, they see it. They respect it. So when you speak, as long as you're not out here pulling a Cam Newton and just yapping all over the place, when you speak, I think there's a real good chance that guys listen. And as you said, Christian Walker's got enough experience. He's got enough pelts on the wall. The everyday, day-to-day grind approach that he has is going to be well respected by every single player on the Astros roster, pitcher and catcher and position player. And so I think that guy has to be it. And it's not, you don't have to be a big presence in the clubhouse to in critical moments. Like Bregman, I think one of the best things we heard, Will Kunkel, we'll hear some audio later on, Tyler. I don't want to pull it right now, but Will Kunkel talking about, you know, Alex Bregman knowing when to call a timeout for certain pitchers because Diaz was young and maybe didn't have the feel. Like, that is so important. And I just look at this thing and I think Christian Walker immediately. Now, to your point, it would be a lot better for all of us Astros fans if it were Yainer Diaz like Patrick Creighton's talking about. It'd be a lot better for all of us Astro fans if it was Jeremy Pena like you're talking about. I think Jake needs to stay his ass in center field and in the batting cages other than that. But those two guys, if it were one of those guys, you're talking about guys that are going to be here longer term. You're talking about guys that, again, play the middle of the infield, naturally have that connection to the pitcher, the easy walk, the close proximity. So it's a game changer if you can do that. But I'm leaning into Christian Walker. I'm going to be honest with you, man. Like, I'm leaning into Christian Walker being big time this year. Not only because as an Astros fan, we look up and first base has been a nightmare since Father Time jumped on Yuli's back, right? Mm-hmm. Everything they've done over there has been a mess. And so not only like tuning into the Astros and being able to watch a first baseman that's a great defensive first baseman, you know where he's going to hit in the lineup and you can depend on production in the field as well as in the lineup. Like, I'm looking forward to that, but with all the alpha personalities that have left the building, I'm looking forward to seeing what Christian Walker can bring to this squad from a chemistry, leadership, like almost identity role as well.
I really like the addition of him at first base. Props to PC. Him and I were working together on the air going way back at the start of the offseason, and he brought him up as an option at the time, and I remember having the conversation and saying, I would love for the Astros to bring him here, especially because it probably won't break the bank, and it didn't. I think he's an underrated first baseman. The things we've talked about, gold glover, good bat, has played in a World Series, is a hard worker, has gotten better throughout the course of his career, a bit of a late bloomer. So I really like that addition. I think he will have a good year, which then helps you to become a little bit of a leader. You have to actually contribute to be able to speak up in the clubhouse at times. And while it's tough for him to come into this clubhouse and try to be the leader, I think the big thing is just that experience and age. Altuve is the only guy coming back from last year's roster for position players that's in his 30s. So you have a lot of young players. I think that helps make it easier for Christian Walker, who's in his mid-30s, to come in. And even though it's his first year at the Astros, you just look at the difference in experience. You got a lot of young players here that could probably learn from a Christian Walker. And it's a lot of times where you see teams bring in the veteran really just for that veteran experience. That's not the case here. Walker's going to be a big-time contributor. But a lot of times you bring that guy in just because he is a veteran and he could teach some of the younger players. I think you could get that from a Christian Walker, let alone the production on the field. And then, to your point, Clint, hopefully over the next couple of years, that helps Peña develop into more of that leader. You can pass the baton since Walker's only going to be here, you know, a couple of seasons, maybe just those 3 years he signed to. And over those 3 years, you help develop Diaz, Peña, whoever it is, these guys that could be here for the next decade that then take that role and run with it.
Alex Bregman is gone. It's not just the production at the plate and the gold glove at third base. It is a leadership role that was vitally important over the last handful of years for the Astros. Hey, the Astros have had a lot of luck. Like I said, Springer leaves. You obviously, I don't know if they still hadn't found their center fielder, but Jake Myers is that guy. They didn't miss a beat. You look up, Carlos Correa left. I thought, well, what are you going to do from a leadership standpoint? Didn't miss a beat. Peña steps in. Hell, he's an MVP in a World Series, right? Now, Bregman's gone. We've seen Verlander bounce a couple of times and come back. You know, at some point, you know, we're in a spot where you're like, okay, where's it going to come from next? I think that time is right now. The Christian Walker signing may have not been able to come at a better time for more reasons than just the void at first base. It may be filling that void from a leadership perspective that's been so vital to this organization's chemistry in the clubhouse, this organization's success. I'm one, Luke, that firmly believes that is – Maybe it's coming to an end, but there was a 7-year stretch there with the Astros where I think you'd be hard pressed in all of sports to find a better clubhouse.
Seven times.
Maybe Golden State during their dynasty, you got it before Draymond Green started punching people in the face in practice and stuff like that. I think that, like, when you look at how, like, their identity on the floor was a team, it was a group effort, how tight they were, how much they won. Like, there's just that damn chemistry in that clubhouse with the Astros is unbelievable, man. And so hopefully they can hold it together and it'll continue to be an advantage for them instead of, you know, you keep losing guys and eventually you lose that advantage. We'll see. We'll see how all that goes. How do the Astros replace Alex Bregman across the board? All right, the NBA All-Star weekend, not just the game. It's a mess, y'all. The three things that they need to knock out of the park every year, I believe that they're 0-3 before the damn thing ever starts. We'll tell you what that is, and we'll cuss and discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, so I got in the face, Craig.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Luke Morrow is in. Somebody got to you on that audio, huh? Got you to bleep it out. You can't play it no
more. Yeah. No fun, man.
By the way,
no fun.
Ryan Hollins is catching hell, isn't he? After that right there, he has to issue a statement. Did y'all see that Instagram done figured out who he is? They're making videos about his hairline now. They are wearing him out about some hairline he went on TV with.
Oh, it was bad.
He uses that same product that I use on my bald spot, but mine's a round bald spot. It's easy to blend in. When you got to do a straight line on your forehead,
see if he's okay.
Yeah, you better have a pro to do it. You got to lay a piece of plastic up there and like you're painting the trim at the crib. But Ryan Hollins is on everybody's radar. They are wearing his ass out. I don't think you should have just let the statement ride. They wouldn't even know. They wouldn't even know what's going on.
His hair wasn't quite as bad as Carlos Boozer back in the day. That just looked like straight like shoe polish that he put on his head. But it was pretty rough.
I didn't be honest with you. I didn't even notice it. I guess I didn't look that close. But boy, once I read the read the caption, I knew exactly what the hell they were talking about. All right. NBA All-Star Weekend is here, ladies and gentlemen. And look, I am, be very transparent, I am an extremely casual fan. I tune in and complain when it just gets to a point where it's unwatchable, right? And you look at last year's game. What did I say that score ended up being, Luke? It was 211.
211, 186.
186 to 211. It was just a joke. Anybody that had anything to do with the NBA, covering the NBA, was embarrassed ultimately. And I can't figure out why. Truth be told, the NBA, their All-Star events are really, to me, the one that I would prefer watching over. Like, if you're just talking about the game, like, I like All-Star Baseball, there's so much in and out. There's, you know, guy pitches one inning and he's out, and it's just That's really hard for me to dig into. Football, I understand where you don't want guys blowing knees out and getting concussions, and it's such a physical sport. I can understand where you would struggle continuing to put that product on the field. Basketball to me is I can't wrap my head around. This should be a weekend where all hands on deck. We should be watching the best guys in the game in a dunk contest. We should be watching a product that's bringing more fans to the game instead of the people that are paid highly to cover it saying things on TV that are pushing fans away from the game in these situations. I don't understand why it's so difficult for the NBA to get this thing right. And then here's what sparked me with this. I remember last year watching Curry and WNBA star Ionescu, right? Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
That's as entertained as I've been, with the exception of, like, if you put two like Hall of Famers in the finals of the 3-point contest, two men, I could see where that would be. But like that dynamic of leveling the playing field where a female can compete at that level with a man and having it unfold the way that it did, I think Curry won by three.
Mm-hmm.
That was tremendous. Like, you got me at that point. Like, I'm in, right? I read an article on this year. Well, NBA just couldn't figure out a way to make that work again, to where they could grow it and like take the next step and build off of what they did last year. So they're not going to do it, right? Then the Caitlin Clark situation. Like they couldn't get Caitlin Clark to participate. And I understand Caitlin Clark said, "No, I'm going to do it at a WNBA All-Star game. We're going to bring eyes to the WNBA." Okay, cool, whatever. But the inability to get those things done. The All-Star game being what it was last year and the response this year is put more people in the All-Star game, have more teams involved in the All-Star game, have more guys play when the ones you had last year weren't real interested in playing. The whole thing is just a buzzkill for me because it is something that I could get real turned on by if it was done right.
Yeah, it used to be my favorite. It was the best. The week growing up, my brothers and I, we couldn't wait for this weekend, and we'd be tuned in Friday
dunk
night.
Dunk contests were sick.
Yeah, dunk contests on Saturday, 3-point contest even.
I'm not a guy, Luke, that's ever been, like, I don't know that I've ever been real starstruck, but one of the moments where I was like, man, this is cool meeting this dude, was Spud Webb.
Oh, yeah.
And it was solely, I got to know Spud really good, and when I was in Dallas, we were pretty good friends. And, I mean, I knew Spud from that dunk contest.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, by the way, one of the coolest cats in the game. I mean, cool cat, great dude. But man, those days were badass, man.
Yeah, I used to love. They used to show them on NBA Hardwood Classic, ESPN Classic, whatever it was. I used to love. I'd sit at home and just watch the old dunk contest. They were great, and they've kind of jumped the shark now. I think the 3-point contest has become better. And then the All-Star game used to be my favorite too, because it was the one All-Star game where you could see things different from a normal basketball game. The baseball All-Star game, it's just a regular baseball game. There's fair. Nothing unique. Yeah. Even the Pro Bowl was just, they're not throwing it behind their back. It was a normal football game. But in the NBA All-Star game, you used to get these crazy alley-oops and these, you know, nice dribble moves and these crazy passes that you wouldn't normally see in a regular season NBA game.
You could literally tell, right, Luke, that you had the best of the best on the floor. Like, there's no doubt about it. Like, these dudes are, they're all good, but these dudes in this All-Star game are freaks.
Which is why I always appreciated it. But now, as we've moved forward, I mean, these guys don't even care about regular season games, so I guess we shouldn't be surprised if they don't care so much about this exhibition All-Star game. And they tried the Elam ending to add some interest in the fourth quarter. Then you mentioned the game last year still wasn't competitive. So now this is the new shakeup. But, you know, the players themselves, even Kevin Durant came out when they made this announcement this year and said, like, this is stupid. Why are we having multiple teams in this tournament? So nobody seems to be happy. I don't know if anyone really has a great solution. It's just, it is a shame of what has become of this All-Star Weekend compared to where it was 10, 20 years ago. I don't know what to do differently.
I got an idea.
Let's hear it.
I got an idea. Do whatever it takes to get Ionescu and Curry back on the damn floor in a 3-point contest. In fact, do whatever it takes to get Caitlin Clark and the other NBA, the other WNBA stars, and make it all women versus men and light it up.
Yeah.
That would be tremendous. And I tell you what, I heard Stephen A. talking about this morning. And Stephen A. had an idea. And when he said it, I thought, it's a no-brainer. It's an absolute no-brainer whether you're trying to grow the league, whether you're trying to protect the current players, whether you're trying to just make the one weekend event just bigger than it already is. Stephen A. Smith suggested that you should go. They should go to all the cities around America, the big cities, and have tournament style dunk contests around the country, and bring whatever the top when that tournament gets down to your final four, bring those final four to the All-Star game, All-Star weekend. And those four, by the way, I'm talking, these are just guys on the street. These are not NBA players I'm talking about. I'm talking about street ballers, right? Bring those guys, have NBA players or teams sponsor those guys, probably tied to where they're from kind of deal, maybe their favorite team. They sponsor those guys, and you just build the hype around street ball and those dunkers. Get the players involved from a support sponsorship standpoint. Those guys can make a bunch of money, so they put a bunch of effort into it. And I mean, I'm telling you, I would. That's appointment television for me, and that's saying a lot. If you're not the Rockets right now, I'm not. Maybe the Lakers when on Luka's first night. Like that's appointment television for me. Street dudes just like out there dunking and put like what they've always dreamed of and felt like they could do is play in the NBA, and now they're winning dunk contests. Like that would be absolutely tremendous for me. But instead, the dunk contest is a joke, right? Literally, and I like Mac McClung. I mean, like Mac McClung, the white man can't jump. You know, the great white hype. Like you hope that this guy, like he won it. Cool. It's 2 years in a row he won it. Okay,
what the whites used to do.
The awe factor is like, okay, I'm over it. Like let's move on. What's next? But he's literally the. I mean, you got three other guys in there, and. None of them are the best dunkers in basketball right now, and he's a two-time defending champ. He's the draw.
Yeah,
in the dunk contest, a white guy that's not even on an NBA roster until a week before the All-Star weekend hits, so that he can go be in the legit NBA player and wear an Orlando Magic jersey. I don't know, man. I think they just. Not only have they missed, and I understand shooting and missing and the players not competing, but boy, it seems like they leave a lot to be desired in a lot of situations.
Yeah, I think the NBA, or the dunk contest in particular, is facing a handful of issues. I mean, number one, we've seen really all the dunks by now, so it's kind of played out. But number two, I think three-pointers, a three-point contest has been more fun because the game's moved towards threes.
Yep.
Look, the dunks were used to be outlawed if you go far enough back in basketball. So that was... that was unique when the dunk contest started. Michael Jordan was soaring through the air, even Dr. J before that. You never saw that. Now, we've seen the dunks. These guys are more athletic than ever before. Now it's the three-pointers. Can you imagine that Steph Curry pulled up from half court, made that shot? That's the new thing. And so that's where the three-point contest comes into play. I also think another aspect of it is three-point contest. It's kind of like math, where there's a final answer. There's no debate over it. This guy made 23s, yeah, no this judges, guy made 15.
Yeah, that's fair.
In the dunk contest, it's kind of like you watch any of these talent shows and you think like, oh, I thought that singer was better, but the judges disagreed. Same idea, like, how do they give that dunk a 48? That wasn't very good, and we've had some sketchy judging in recent years. So I think there's, and then the final part is what you mentioned, the stars. It used to be a rite of passage, the dunk contest. Jordan did it. Dr. J did it. You know, Dominique did it. Kobe did it. Vince Carter did it. All the big names used to do it. Now, last 20 years, none of these guys, LeBron has never done it, obviously. None of these stars want to do the dunk contest, and that's a huge thing when you don't have the big names.
That's Luke Morrow. He's in for Ron the Show, Ugly Today. I'm Clint Sterner. You're listening to Sports Radio 610. NBA All-Star Weekend. Who am I fooling? I'm going to watch it anyway. Three-point contest, the lineup in a three-point contest, even though it's not men versus women, it's pretty solid. That's going to be a good... And the celebrity game is always fun to watch because it's hard to believe that some of those dudes can hoop the way that they can hoop when they don't look like they have a lick of athletic ability in their body. So we shall see. I wish they'd get some of the they would capitalize on a couple of these things and offer me a little bit more in terms of NBA All-Star Weekend. I'd appreciate that, man. All right, Lance McCullers, pitchers, catchers have reported Lance McCullers. He spoke and we'll get an update on exactly how Lance McCullers is doing. Again, I told you we're not going to do this every single day, but we will do it out of the gate to get a gauge on where he is in 2025. But also, are you wondering where Lance McCullers is going to pitch? Is he going to be starter? Is he going to be out of the pen? Where's Lance McCullers going to answer that question? We'll talk. I'll have that audio for you next.
Bury me in the age.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Ugly is out. Luke Morrow is in, and we are rolling on this Freaky Friday, on this Valentine's Day. Boy, I tell you what, my Valentine's process has changed big time. I'm going to tell you a little bit about that in the 4 o'clock. It's a little bit of a tease for those that care. Valentine's Day has changed for me, and I got a bone to pick with these damn flower shops around here, by the way, too. They got a lot in common, Tyler, with them damn barbers on Monday. We got to
no lies detected.
We got to get to the bottom of this, but before we get there, though, we got to hash out this Lance McCullers stuff. I told y'all, man. Look, I'm not real interested in hearing a daily update of how far Lance McCullers is throwing the ball, and is he on flat ground or is he on a mound, and what kind of setbacks did we have today, but. I do believe that there's a story brewing here with Lance McCullers that could blow the top off the icebox down there, T. If Lance McCullers is healthy and at any point in time can stay healthy for more than a week.
Knock on wood.
If he can help this baseball team win games and just be relevant, it ain't got to be World Series worthy. Just be relevant. He will be, one of, if not the most popular Astro at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the talk will be about Lance McCullers if he can pull it off. And if it's going to happen, it's got to happen this year. Tyler, would you agree that he's at the end of the rope? I mean, you got it right.
Oh, 100%.
If it don't happen.
It's now or never.
Yeah, it's now or never with Lance McCullers.
And so. I hate saying that because, like a lot of Astros fans, I mean, We have a special place in our heart for Lance McCullers. No one will ever forget all them that plethora of curveballs he threw and some of the great things he did for a small amount of time. But man, at this point, I hate to say it, you got to crap or get off the pot, right?
Well, no question. There's something too with Lance about the way in which he goes about his business, the way he plays, the way he works, the way like he's clearly. There's no governor, right? I mean, it's all gas, no brakes, right? So, I mean, there's something that I think blue-collar Houston, blue-collar America can greatly appreciate about that approach. Let's start here. Let's start with just a little update on Lance McCullers. As we know, pitchers and catchers reported a couple days ago. They're on the field yesterday. Here is Lance McCullers just with a little update on where he's at with his arm.
They're great. Yeah, I'm throwing all my pitches, so they're not like waiting on anything. The fastball, slider, curveball, changeup, cutter, the whole thing. So I was like up to 90 the other day in the bullpen, which is really good for me. And been happy with the progress and all that stuff. So it's been a good offseason. I'm in a really great spot.
Lance McCullers, he bumped his what he's doing right now up against what he was doing in 2021 at this time, and they're pretty similar. So he's clearly very, very comfortable with where he's at right now from a velocity standpoint. Needs to obviously throw more pitches, and we'll see what he ends up doing. But just overall, Luke, from it's good to hear that. There's been so many setbacks in the past. Like, it's good to hear that there's no setbacks. It's good to hear that he's throwing all 5 pitches. It's good to hear that he's throwing from a normal distance and that he seems to be on track to be able to at least help this baseball team to some degree this year.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, will it come to fruition? Will he actually be able to help? How much will he be able to help? It remains to be seen. It's one of those things. It's I always call it the Polar Express theory. I have to see it in order to believe in it. So, in this case, I have to actually see him out there on the big league roster, actually pitching in a competitive game to believe that there could be something there. But with that said, if he is, hypothetically speaking, able to get to that point where he can contribute, it'd be a huge addition because you haven't gotten anything from him the last couple of years, and you throw that into the mix, and we might get into it, but I'd rather see him be a reliever or be in the bullpen. And so to add him to the bullpen mix, theoretically, could be a huge benefit. And to get him back and to get anything from him at this point, because it's been almost 3 years of nothing, it's gravy. You'll take anything from him. And we talked earlier about leadership. You know, you add somebody like that to the pitching staff with the years of experience, that could help this team. A guy who's been there before, and for this team that lost some big pieces and some big leaders this offseason, to get him back into the mix and playing a role would be huge. But
yeah,
I'll just take anything at this point.
Yeah, just get healthy so that we got options at this point in time. I'm a fan I think Houston would absolutely love nothing more than for him to be one of the five starters in the rotation and be a guy that's, you know, pushing the starters ahead of him and are helping us win ball games as we navigate these foreign waters, if you will, of not being a World Series favorite, not being a favorite to win the division kind of deal. It would be really, really cool, a story within the story, if Lance McCullers could be part of that. Now, here's the part that I found interesting, and you alluded to it being coming out of the bullpen or being a starter. It doesn't sound like Lance McCullers is real interested in coming out of the bullpen. It sounds like he's got his sights set on being a starter. And be honest with you, when you hear this, it sounds like he's talking you out of any kind of possibility of him coming out of the bullpen. Here's McCullers.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from, but I don't think that's an easy job. And being a reliever, I think a lot of times, you know, people almost say, "Whoa, just make him a reliever." I mean, that's not an easy thing to do, to be a reliever at the big league level. It's not like a fallback position. I think that it's doing a disservice to the guys who are in that role. It's very specific. It's very hard. And I don't think pitching, you know, back-to-back days or even, you know, 3 out of 4 days, for me, I think it's physically harder. I think the things that the guys in the bullpen have to deal with throughout a long season, the ups and downs of usages, not really knowing when they're going to be called upon sometimes, that's a harder job, it's a harder way to stay healthy. And so, like I said, it's not just something that you can just decide you wake up one day and feel like, you know, being a reliever. It's a very specific job. I think suggesting otherwise is a disservice to the guys in the bullpen that have, you know, in our pen and in every pen around the league. And so, you know, for me, I'm interested in doing what I've always done. It's what I know. It's what I feel like I can give this team, you know, the most success in.
Hey, man, I don't know about y'all, but when I hear that, that wasn't Lance McCullers being asked a question that he wasn't prepared for. That was, I'm glad you asked. I've thought about this. I've probably had this conversation with Joe Espada and Dana Brown already. That's not something that you fall back to. It's not easy. It's physically harder to stay healthy. It's a harder job. It's a harder way to stay healthy. Like yeah. It sounded like, one, he's had the conversation before, and two, he has zero interest in being a reliever.
That was, I ain't going to be no reliever. I'll go run my damn coffee shop before I become a reliever. That's what that was.
I'll open more coffee. We'll become a chain.
Straight up. I'll be the next Starbucks before you see me being a relief pitcher.
Yeah, I don't know, Luke. I heard that it doesn't seem like what you had mentioned I agree with you from a standpoint of, like, his what he brings to the table would play really well out of the pen in a longer middle relief role would be really, really
cool. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Cool. But boy, he doesn't seem bought in.
No, not at all. And for a guy who's been out of the league for almost 3 years, I would have rather, maybe I'm nitpicking, but I'd rather hear like, hey, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah,
right?
I'll do whatever I need to for the team, or I'll do whatever to get out there. But it seems like he has his mindset on being a starting pitcher. I would love to talk to somebody in the baseball medical field about that idea of pitching back-to-back days or pitching 3 out of 4 or whatever, just the unsteady schedule compared to a starting pitcher trying to throw 100 pitches and then you take 4 days off and then you try to throw 100 pitches when coming back from an injury to see if there is any sort of anecdotal evidence or even data that shows that that's a worse case for a guy and his health coming off of injuries. But I think back to John Smoltz. Smoltz was a starting pitcher, obviously one of the best in the league, had a bunch of injuries. They moved him to the bullpen. He got an extra decade out of his career and became one of the best closers in the league. I'm not saying that Lance would follow that same trajectory, but you know, when you're dealing with these issues, these injuries, I think it's easier to say, hey, just give me an inning here instead of, hey, try to give me 100 pitches. And you don't have to exert yourself. You know, give me one good inning. He's only hitting 90 right now. I don't know how much more he's going to add to that fastball, but it's a lot easier to only face 3 hitters when you're topping out at 90 compared to trying to go through a lineup 3 times and try to surprise them or sneak by them with your 90-mile-per-hour, you know, fastball and breaking stuff. So I just think, in general, for a guy with those issues, it's easier to ask, hey, just give me an inning here or there. You probably will have more success than trying to prolong yourself over 5 innings and face a lineup multiple times. And as I said, Smoltz is probably the best example of a guy going through this, became a reliever, and had another Hall of Fame portion of his career.
Well, I hope it works out for McCullers the way he wants it to work out. I really personally, as a fan, just hope to see him on the field. I dig the way he handles his business. I think it'd be fun to watch. It'd be a fascinating comeback story. And the timing couldn't be any better than right now with the Astros where they're at. So it's something to keep an eye on. We'll keep you updated on. Real quick notes here in Sports Radio 610. I do want to remind everybody the Big Orange Wagon podcast is back, y'all.
Hey,
that's right, that's right. T. Mill and Patrick Creighton, it returns tonight. The Big Orange Wagon podcast, 30 some odd episodes in, they're back tonight. New episodes, All Astros Talk, every Monday and Thursday with that Big Orange Wagon podcast. Make sure you stay plugged into that sucker right there. Those guys work hard. They do a good job with it, and they'll keep you up on them Strohs, and it's that time of year. There's a lot going on. If you want to catch up real quick, make sure you tune in to the Big Orange Wagon podcast, or you can just follow T-Meal, Real Deal T-Meal on social media. He'll keep you posted on that, posted on that Big Orange Wagon as well. I got a bone to pick. I got a bone to pick with Valentine's Day. I got a bone to pick with the city of Houston. I'm going to do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.